Do you hear that? Stop. Listen for a sec. That's the sound of background noise, and it's starting right now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Background Noise. As always, I am super excited for today's episode, but like this one's big. This one's going in the books for sure. We're going to be chatting with Les Stroud today. You may remember the name from Survivor Man, but he is an avid musician, and the music catalog dates back before the show even happened. So I am super excited to talk about new music, old music, and all that fun stuff. I always like to get the show started, though. I'll just let you, Les, tell me a little bit about yourself, your music journey, and kind of your little shtick.
Nice to talk with you, first of all, and always nice to talk to a fellow Canadian. The musical journey, though, is one that really started when I was about 14 years old. I mean, even before then, because I had an affinity for it, you know, and I used to pretend to be a little radio disc jockey when I was 10 years old kind of thing in the basement. But around the age of 14, I discovered rock and roll, really, and that all started with Elton John's Goodbye Ellabrick Road album. And from then on, I just wanted to be in music, wanted to be a musician, wanted to be a rock star. You know, I wanted to be Neil Young, you know, meets Jimmy Page sort of thing. I stuck with that for a long time, a lot of years, and through high school desiring it and so on. Very little guidance, very little mentorship, actually zero would be the better way of saying that. Difficult to enter into an artistic career when you've got no North Stars giving you bits of advice kind of thing. Eventually somewhere in my, it went on from there. I went to music college in London, Ontario, met music industry arts. I recorded with bands in Toronto and played the scene. And somewhere in my mid-20s got a little disillusioned. And that's when I discovered my love for outdoor adventure and filmmaking, which of course that took me on another pathway that we all know about and is the one that I get known for. But the music, it did stop for a little while. I put it down for about 10 years. I put it away. And then when I got back to it, there was no looking back. I was like, boy, have I ever missed this. And that was somewhere in my late 20s or mid 30s, early 30s, somewhere in there. I was literally looking after a dog team in Yellowknife, 16 Inuit sled dogs, taking care of them. Where I lived, the guy had an old acoustic guitar sitting over there in a corner. And once I picked it up, that's it. I started playing again, haven't stopped.
That's amazing. And one thing I kind of noticed, especially with like the later songs, I feel like you still have a really nature-y kind of theme to the music. Like we can definitely tell your love for nature, your love for the outdoors, through listening to a lot of these songs.
Yeah, it's a pretty obvious go-to for me. It's not contrived. It's not planned out that way. It really, you write what you know. And what I know is nature. And what I know is connecting to nature. So, sure, I've done lots of love songs and common social commentary or that sort of thing. But I keep always coming back, especially more in the last few albums, very much so. I suppose in the last few albums, it was a little more decidedly that I was focusing on nature and my connection to nature. And so what does that mean? Predominantly, that means lyrically. But there's been other opportunities as well. Certainly lyrically is the case. And I would say lyrically, I have no shame of saying, hey, man, I'm trying to pick up where John Denver left off. He was one of the greatest, songwriters of all time. And he's one of the greatest songwriters when it comes to writing stuff about nature. Even Annie's song, one of the most beautiful love songs ever written, is a metaphor, is all nature metaphor. So lyrically, I went that way. But then musically, I love jumping around. So everything from what you would expect, roots acoustic, finger picky, bluesy, slide guitar, that sort of, on up through to literally progressive rock, because I was a fan. I'm a fan of that as well with the album Mother Earth, for example. But the other little thing that I've thrown in that is really, I think, quite unique to me is that while I was off filming Beyond Survival, one of my film series that I did, where I survived with indigenous cultures, I recorded all of their chanting and ceremonies. And then I use that now, and they were well compensated, and I'm still in connection with them. So this wasn't appropriation in any way. But I used those recordings to inspire me to write new material. That's how the whole Mother Earth album came to be.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because the first song I want to talk about is Arctic Mistress. You re-released that one recently, because I know this is supposed to be a big year for music for you, and we'll get more into that in a minute. But when I was listening to Arctic Mistress, I noticed it sounded like Inuit throat singing in the beginning, and I thought that was really cool. Why don't you tell me a little bit more about that song in particular?
And that's exactly what it is. We were up in the Arctic filming an episode of Beyond Survival, and I met some lovely ladies who were throat singers and also an Inuit drummer. In the video, it actually opens up with the Inuit drummer. It's not in the main track that you get here on Spotify, but in the video, it does. And we filmed them. We recorded them. They taught me throat singing, which I happened to pick up on really quickly because it was the same kind of breathing I use for playing harmonica. I use a lot of very short, stoppy, rapid sort of breathing when I do my style of harmonica. It worked very well for throat singing. So they taught me. We did that together. We filmed it. And then when we got back to Ontario, I was listening to their throat singing, and I was like, that's rhythm if I ever heard it, you know. Right, so you got that rhythm that happens with throat singing, and I thought, it must be able to be inspired by this and spin off of this somehow. And sure enough, my co-writer on that is Brian Potvin, and Brian Potvin, famous for being with the Northern Pikes, so they're a famous Canadian pop band, you know, lots of top 10 hits, great songwriter. And he and I were did this together. We started writing music together based on these ceremonies and things I was filming and recording. And so, yeah, with Arctic Mistress, it really truly was the throat singing that led us down this pathway that my memory has it. Brian might speak it differently, I'm not sure, but my memory has it that I started with that throat singing, saying, let's see what we can do with this. Brian took it home. He riffed off of that with a chord progression that followed the rhythmic, gave the chord progression back to me. And I started thinking, okay, what can I sing over this? And I do remember thinking, I don't want a lot of lyrics. I don't want to get into a busy song. And I love busy song lyrics, you know, like Bob Dylan or something. But no, this needs to be spacious and airy. And somewhere along the way, I got the idea that, what if I thought of the Arctic as a lover that I've left behind, my Arctic mistress? And that's where the lyrics came from. And I came back and I sung over the chords to Brian in the studio. He loved it immediately, which was rare for Brian because he's hard to write with because he's so good and he's tough on me. And I always loved that. But this time around, he's like, man, that's beautiful. And Arctic Mistress was born.
Beautiful. It really is an absolutely gorgeous song, and the video itself was awesome. I watched it before the show here, and yeah, it opens with the Inuit drummer, and then if I'm not mistaken, is there a bunch of clips from Survivor Man episodes in there that you would have like filmed while you were up there anyways?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the great advantages I have, and I can see by looking in your background that you're clearly a musician yourself, and so you know what I speak of, that when I say, you know, these days, wow, it's a different life and a different world for artists and songwriters and performers. So that's such an understatement, you know. Well, one of the things I have an advantage for me is that I've been a filmmaker now for 35 years. So the concept of video work with my music is a no-brainer, and I'm sitting on a catalog of, you know, an immense amount of material. So whenever I'm doing, you know, let's say I could do a song about, I don't know, eagles flying or something like that. I have footage of eagles flying. I have footage of tons of aerials. I don't have to go and try to get this or search through license-free catalogs. So yeah, the video component, there's us up in the Arctic where that you can see the ladies singing doing the throat singing with me. Yep. All done. We filmed that actually on an iceberg. We went out to an iceberg and it was still kind of lodged in some ice a bit. So it was just about to loosen up sort of thing. And we filmed right on, and it was amazing.
Wow. That is amazing. We're going to listen to that song right away here, Arctic Mistress. And when we come back, I want to talk a bit more about the Mother Earth album in general and kind of what you're going to be doing with that in the future here. I'm
You're listening to Background Noise. Like what you hear? Follow us on Instagram at Background Noise The Show for links to episodes, playlists, and more.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning in to Background Noise today. This is like, I'm so excited for this episode. We're talking with Les Stroud today. Most people know him from Survivor Man, but he was a musician first, which I think is incredible. We just listened to Arctic Mistress. That's one of his songs. He just released it, or like re-released it rather, super recently, because this is going to be a big year for music for you. Why don't you tell us what's going on?
Yeah, and even explaining the re-release, I find I have to explain it a lot of times because some people say, well, didn't you release that a couple of years ago? So bottom line is I have two wonderful excuses going on for me right now. Number one is this is the first time in a couple of years, you know, the pandemic and other such things, some cancer within my family, everything's good now, but all these things to deal with. Haven't done any music. And so I'm releasing my entire catalog in a very big way. Much of it already exists on Spotify. That is true. But what doesn't exist, two things. Number one was I took down all of my music videos about 3 years ago. So you can't find any music videos that I've produced of me for the last 3 years. So I'm going to release them all. But why not release them in a, you know, I dare to say it, kind of a strategy. You know, where once every 6 weeks I release a new music video, I have dozens, you know, and also the second part of the Mother Earth story for this, we'll call it re-release or this new release, is that I had it remixed and remastered for vinyl. And so a beautiful double vinyl package that I'm putting out of Mother Earth. And so this gives me that opportunity to say, okay, let's pretend like it never even came out in the first place. And you know, again, knowing that you're a musician and very likely an artist and all of that as well, again, based on what I see in your background there, on this Google Meet screen we're watching, I would say that, you know, any reasoning for us to have something to say, to put something out is really important now. And I've got enough material coming out that I could release, well, I am releasing a song every 6 weeks for the next 3 years. So the Mother Earth, and I have two new albums coming and my archive as well, but the Mother Earth is the lead off of all of that. I've never been more proud of something as the Mother Earth album. And this time around, I've got Slash to back me up. He's going to help me promote the song that he plays on. I'm going to hopefully maybe get the same thing out of Steve Vai, talk with Steve about it. And I will say too that all of this came up, you know, their involvement as well as this project, the Mother Earth album, it's about my desire to say, well, what can I create that would benefit boots on the ground organizations that are doing things to protect the planet? And as cliche as that sounds, that's exactly what I'm doing. And that's the point of this, is anything that comes out of Mother Earth will go right back to the Dolphin Project, IFAW, WWF, Wildlife Conservation Society, these kinds of networks that I know are doing boots on the ground's actual work in the area of protecting wildlife or wildlands. So that's a big goal of the Mother Earth album, culminating in a big concert at the end of this year, by the way, where I will do a full live Mother Earth concert. We'll do the album back to back sort of thing.
That is awesome. And as a record collector myself, you probably can't see it, it's all the way behind my chair. I am super stoked for the re-release of this on a vinyl. Definitely going to scoop that up. I'm so stoked. Let's talk about some of the songs on it though as well. One of the ones I really, really liked was Life on Earth. Why don't you tell me a bit about that song?
Oh, thank you for noticing that song. You know, it's funny how when you're the writer, there's certain songs you really want people to pick up on, but they kind of don't. They pick up on the other song that you like too. And Life on Earth is one of those, like, man, I wish, like, don't you like Life on Earth though? It's my favorite song. It's my second favorite song on the album. My favorite's Into the Wind. But Life on Earth, it's an angry moment. You know, in some ways, it's a moment of anger. And I let that come out in my songs. Some new material that I have coming out on the new albums, for example. And it was an opportunity to just kind of go, musically speaking, with that never-changing four-chord motif. Where it's like, you know, there's the odd songs. I mean, hell, walk on the wild side is two chords, you know? And so I just had this thing starting on D minor and going down, you know, C, B, A, and over and over and over again. And then it just gave me chills. It just gave me this thing. It's like, you know, and then when it came from the line, when I had the line, "This is life on earth," I just felt that line in my soul was chilling, because I didn't go to the positive. I went to the negative. This is life on earth. This is who we are. How did it come to this? How did it get this far? You know, those lines to me are dark. And so I played it in a rehearsal with the band before a concert. It's quite a few years ago. And it just stuck with me. And then, yep, sure enough, we ended up cutting it. Once I brought Mike Klink on to produce the album, we worked together on that song in Nashville, actually, is where we recorded it. And hard song for me to sing. I don't have a super high range, so I have to think a little more like Eddie Vedder when I do something like that. And you know, I can't hit the high scream like an Axl Rose, but I can let my emotion out, which is what I did, especially towards the end of that song.
Yeah, I did feel a lot of emotion in the song, and that's kind of why I picked it out in particular. And another one that I really kind of felt that emotion with too, and specifically with like anger and that emotion, was the song "Better" off the 2020 EP "Embers." That one is just like a solid rock tune. Like if I were to define rock, it would be with something like this. And I love the story that it tells in there as well, with like dealing with emotions and being angry, but like you're working on it, right? Why don't you tell me a bit more about "Better"?
Well, it's my chance to talk. I've never spoken about "Better" before in an interview, so this is wonderful. Yes, I would say musically, it came out of my desire to do exactly that. I like a heavy rock, but when you add in the odd different types of instruments, like a horn section. But what it also gave for me was a chance to really blow some mean ass harp, you know, and say, let me just kick out some real harmonica. Let me show you know, it's showing off, but it's me going, let me show you what I can do on the harp when I'm really with a good band and we kick it out. So that whole riff, you know, I have an album in me yet that will be all kick ass harmonica work, you know. And one of the things I like to do, I don't know why more don't do this, very rare does it happen, but I do it and I love it and I want to do a whole album of it, is when you tie in a riff, a harmonica riff with a guitar riff, and you do both together, there's no other sound like that, you know, and it's pretty amazing. So we did that for that song. And then lyrically, yeah, I mean, I was caught. That's one of those times where you're caught in the middle. I'm caught between feelings of the anger of what's happening to the planet and my ridiculous ever optimistic self. And there's a battleground there between the two of me. A lot of my songs go that way. Lyrically, the verse is like, wow, this is getting a little dark here. And then in the chorus, I'm like, oh no, but it's okay. You know, I do that. I've got a new song called "Walk in the Wilderness," you know, and the lyrics are, it's kind of sad. There are four people who are lyrics over four people are sad. But then the chorus is, you know, we'll take a walk in the wilderness, you know, and where you'll find me. I'm losing the lyrics here, but I just tend to do that with songs. And with "Better," yeah, it's that pendulum verse, you know, I'm kind of pissed. And if I can say that, sorry, hopefully you're enough, they might have to beat that. I don't know. And then chorus. Hey, but you know what? I'm working on it. It's going to be okay. I don't know why I do that. I tend to do that a lot.
Honestly, no. It makes it really fun to listen to. We're going to listen to both "Life on Earth" and "Better" right away here. And then when we come back, I want to take it way back to the oldest song that I could find on Spotify, because I always like asking about the oldest one I can find. But first, here's "Life on Earth."
This is life on earth. This is who we are. How'd it come to this? How'd it get this far? Look around you now. There's no more wild and free. This is our last chance to make the bastard see. If we pick up arms and draw our swords on those who rape the earth, we can win this war. Down. It's time to build her up, regain her crown. We can repair the wounds and clean the air. We can save the sea, this earth we share. To this, this is life on earth. This is who we are. This is life on earth.
I'm working on truth, I'm not into me, I'm working on you.
listening to Background Noise. Like what you hear? Follow us on Instagram at Background Noise The Show for links to episodes, playlists, and more.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Background Noise today. I hope you're enjoying the episode as much as I am. We're chatting with Les Stroud. You may know him from Survivor Man, but he's actually a musician first before that, which I thought was really cool. I want to take it all the way back now to the oldest song that I could find off of your self-titled album, I think released in 2000, Free to Be. Why don't you tell me about that song?
Free to Be. And you know, it's still a standard in every live show I do. It's usually number two. So Free to Be was the era where I was getting back into my music. I had sort of mentioned discovering that, seeing that buddy's guitar up when I was looking after a dog team in Yellowknife. And then I get back to Ontario and I'm now, you know, living here and living there. I'm now married and have two children and we're up in New Liskeard, Ontario. And I befriended a gentleman named Ian Ogier, who's a tremendous producer and recording engineer, but he lives in this little town in Northern Ontario. So, big fish in a small, very small pond, a big fish of talent in a small pond. And at that time, I was, you know, I had not played guitar for 10 years before I got back into it, just a year or two before that. So my chops were gone and I'd lost them. You can lose them. And I'd lost them. So I was concentrating my chops on the kind of music that I really, really, really loved, which is a lot of traditional Delta blues, Mississippi John Hurt, Lightnin' Hopkins. And with my harmonica, Sonny Terry, Brownie McGee, you know, so I was concentrating on some Mississippi John Hurt finger picking. And if you listen to Mississippi John Hurt, something like, song called, Make Me a Pallet, you know, that sort of finger picking. And then you listen to Free to Be, you can hear where the influence comes in. And it's a certain way you arpeggiate your fingers. There's finger picking. You know, 70s acoustic rock, James Taylor, you know, but then there's this traditional Mississippi Delta finger picking, which is a little more aggressive and different and flows in a different way in your fingers. And that's it. I was at that point, you know, I'm total nature nut at that point, still very much. I think I was still guiding canoe trips on the odd occasion. So, that's where that first CD, that a lot of those lyrics were just, I mean, boy, there's that Great Blue Sky, All Restless Souls. These are all nature songs. They're all nature metaphors. But Free to Be and Northern Wilds were story songs. And what I did with Free to Be was I just told the story that still to this day resonates with a live listener in the audience because, you know, 40 hours of work week were never meant for me. And lately I've been bitten by the bug that sets us free. You know, everybody's like, yeah, I hate my 40-hour job. You can see people going, yes, I want to go out in a canoe. I want to be in a tent. I want to be walking in the woods. And that's what Free to Be was about. It was musically, it was this rebirth of my ability on the guitar. And lyrically, it was exactly where I was at. I tend to always write exactly where I'm at.
I love that. And no, that is why I chose the song, was that the 40-hour work was not to me. Especially because, like, me personally, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur student. I'm all about just doing my own thing, man. That's all I ever want to do. That's all I've ever wanted to do, was just my own thing. So when I heard that song, I was like, it hit me in the soul too. I was like, yeah, I've been bitten by the bug too.
And it was supposed to hit you. You know, that not contrived. That's just what I lyrically wanted to do. Exactly that. I want to say, yeah, I'm the same as you guys, you know. And the new album coming up with Colin Linden, you know, one of the things he said about having listened to Free to Be and some of those earlier songs was, you know, and Colin talks with a bit of a rasp. He goes, you know, that's what it is you got the gravitas for this kind of lyric, you know, and he's not wrong. You know, I come from it, you know, very honestly and very authentically.
Amazing. I want to talk about another one of your older songs as well, too, from the Long Walk Home EP from 2007. This one made my mom laugh quite a bit. And she's like, you have to have this one on the show. It's called Nice Tattoo, because she is a heavily tattooed woman and she laughed so hard when she heard that song. Why don't you tell me a bit about Nice Tattoo?
Well, two areas here. One is what was going on with the world. Now, I have three tattoos. One of them was made traditionally in New York, and I got it made two wolf heads, one for my son, one for my daughter, to remember me when I travel. And then the other two were both done on the same day with a stick and a nail in the middle of the jungle of Indonesia by a shaman. And these were done before getting a tattoo became what it is now. You know, the only people who had tattoos when I did this were rock stars and sailors, as they would say, bikers and sailors and rock stars, you know. But then all of a sudden it just sort of exploded. Now I have these tattoos. Now, fast forward to tattooing becoming so popular in mainstream culture. And so those of us who had tattoos before, you know, we've got that sort of snobby, like, well, I had a tattoo before they were cool, you know. we get that goofy perspective we get when we think we beat everybody to the punch. Well, so I'm working and writing. I'm writing stuff with the Northern Pikes. And great songwriters, great musicians. And we decided to kind of hook up together and do an EP together. We call it Lestrout and the Pikes, which is probably a legal move more than anything else. Well, the nice tattoo song was there's two ways that I like to perform. One is I'm being real Lestrout, really, you know, nature connected and hopefully touching your soul. But I used to tour with a blues band and a blues rock band, and I love to just kick it up. Let's just have some fun here. Let's play some rock and roll. Let's play some blues. And so with that in mind, I was just kind of, in many ways, I'm kind of poking fun at everybody getting tattoos in that era and the way it is now. Everybody's got tattoos, right? So I thought, well, let's just have some fun with this, man. Let's mimic a little bit of Muddy Waters, a little bit of Howlin' Wolf, and a little bit of Lestrout and poke some fun at the whole tattoo thing. But I can't be a hypocrite. I've got two. So I also don't mind them. So I thought, well, let's just have some fun with this, you know, and lyrically you can tell I'm having some fun here.
Honestly, no, it was just a fun song, especially like compared to some of the other songs that we've listened to so far that are very like emotional and heavy and tell that story and they're beautiful. This one was fun. Like, it was a fun song.
Yeah. And I've got a new song that you wouldn't have heard yet that's coming out on the album that Colin Linden's producing, called Look at Love. Same sort of thing. I'm just having some fun, man. We got a like a New Orleans jazz ensemble sort of playing with us on that one, and just want to have some fun. So yeah, I can have fun too. I'm not all, you know, pine trees and rivers all the time.
Awesome. One more song I want to ask before we play them all here was Gypsy Soul. You actually released that one super recently, I think just like a week or so ago. Yeah, Gypsy Soul. And it was with the Campfire Kings, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a little twist on that one. It was never put out on any of my albums by mistake. It's literally like, wait a minute. I didn't send that track to the print. It's not, and, you know, I get the art back at home and look and say, okay, I forgot Gypsy Soul. You know, whatever. I think it was the Wonderful Things album it was supposed to be on. But, you know, I don't know. Busyness, lots of stuff going on. I was Survivor Man at the time, so very busy. So it was this orphan track that I did. And so then I thought, well, recently, and I, huh. As I do kind of every year, I submitted songs to the International Acoustic Musicians Awards. And I submitted Gypsy Soul. It's kind of like I found it. It's like, what's this song doing here on this hard drive? Or, you know, I just found it. Okay, well, it's mastered. It's mixed and everything. So I sent it into that. And I was nominated for Best Country Bluegrass Song this year. So then I thought, well, heck, I got to put it out. It's not even out. Like, I literally had to go on my own Spotify and my own SoundCloud and go, do I have it out there? And I'm looking on the CDs, like, I never released Gypsy Soul. I kid you not, I only discovered that six, eight weeks ago. So that's why I released it. I thought, well, let's just put it out there. It's up for an award anyway. And so I put Gypsy Soul out there, but it's an old song. And one of my best memories of that song is I played it at the Drake Club. And right after I played it, and I'm with the Campfire Kings. Now, the Campfire Kings, by the way, a little note there. The Campfire Kings are really just any band of musicians that I get to play with me at any given time. So it's a changing ensemble, if you will. I try to think of them like they're like Neil Young and Crazy Horse, but it's actually the faces change. So we're playing at the Drake Club, and right after I finished Gypsy Soul, none other than Bruce Colburn walks up to me and says, "You guys sound really great tonight." And then Bruce Coburn's a hero of mine. I now, you know, he's on my new album. I've written with him and performed with him live, and he scored my film, La Lache, that I produced. But this was back before I'd met him, and he just came up and said, "You guys sound really good." And it was right after the Gypsy Soul. So I'm very, very, it's a, again, fun song, you know, fun groove.
Yeah. And you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I even wrote down with a question mark, 2012 wonderful things question mark, because I noticed you had the Campfire Kings there, you had that whole album, and I triple checked too. I'm like, why isn't this song on the album? That's so funny.
Yeah, total you know, artist's flub. I was so busy when I put out Wonderful Things and Off the Grid. I mean, I was in the peak of filming Survivor Man. So I was so busy traveling around the world and doing these albums. So you asked about things earlier about musically. So I put out my debut. That was just, at, you know, me and Ian in New Liskeard, Ontario. Then I became Survivor Man. Then Survivor Man took. So right in the beginning of that, first year sometimes, when second year is when I met Brian Fofan of the Pikes and we did Long Walk Home. Now, the next 10 years, I'm Survivor Man and I'm filming. That's I put out Wonderful Things. I put out Off the Grid, I put out Bittern Lake, and even towards the end of, I was already beginning Mother Earth. So yeah, so a lot going on, hence me completely missing a whole song. It's kind of funny.
All right, well, we are going to listen to that handful of songs there. And when we come back, I'm glad you actually just mentioned it, because I want to talk about one of the songs from the Bittern Lake Barn Sessions.
One, two, oops. One, two, three. The wind is light, the sky is blue. My heart is heavy when I don't have you, and I miss you. Like a parched land misses rain. I camp on the land, a boat on the sea. Life ain't life if you can't be free to live it. You'll always find a way. 40 hours of work week were never meant for me. Lately I've been bitten by the bug that sets us free. Wilderness wandering and ocean waves are calling. Standing in a forest you can hear when trees are falling. Oh, 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 this is free. To the left, a little to the right, a lot in the middle, cause it feels so right just loving you. Neath the sun and neath the moon. Years they come, years they go, all I know is they all go by too soon. Don't waste your days away. 40 hours of work week were never meant for me. Lately I've been bitten by the bug that sets us free. Wilderness wandering and ocean waves are calling. Standing in a forest you can hear when trees are falling.
a nice tattoo. It could be on her arm, or maybe right across her chest. She could have one on her leg, say slipper when wet. It's a woman with a nice tattoo. Tattoo.
I'm a free bird now.
you take a chance on my circumstance? Well, you can't turn back, but jump off of the tracks. So if you see me running along, my gypsy soul is so damn strong. And if you wake before the dawn, you know that I'll be gone. Take it, Peter. Got far to go. I'm a World War ace. I'm just an empty soul that roams. And if you see me running along, my gypsy soul is so damn strong. And if you wake before the dawn,
you're listening to Background Noise. Like what you hear? Follow us on Instagram at Background Noise The Show for links to episodes, playlists, and more.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning in to Background Noise today. I hope you're enjoying the episode as much as I am. I'm having so much fun talking to Les Stroud here. Most people know him as Survivor Man, but today we know him as Les Stroud, the musician. So you just mentioned earlier the Bittern Lake Barn Sessions. What a fun group of songs that was. Why don't you tell me a little bit more about that album?
Well, two things come to mind here. First of all, the fact that we termed it the Barn Sessions. The Barn Sessions began way in the beginning with Wonderful Things and went on into Off the Grid. And what that is, was my belief, very strong belief, that you still get magic when you put a bunch of musicians in the room together at the same time and you have to record together. Very few, if any, overdubs. Get it right. Get it now. We're going to play it five times and we're done. You know, I love that. I love the and engineers and producers be damned. The pressure's on. You guys got to capture this, you know. But that also means we all have to play it perfectly. I have to sing in key. So I love the barn sessions. I will come back to them again and again in my life. The first version literally happened in a barn. And then the second version was in that barn, fixed up a little bit. And then the third version, Bittern Lake, was at my house. But we just called it the barn session because I shove everybody pretty much in the same room. Now, Mike Klink produced that album. And he's very legendary rock and pop producer, Aerosmith, all the Guns N' Roses albums, Metallica, you know, monster producer and engineer. And he battled me a bit because, you know, well, can we at least put the guitar amps over there? Can we put the drummer in a different room? And isolation, 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 right? And I'm like, no, no, no. I mean, he won his way on a couple of counts, and we did do some overdubs. But so the barn sessions, that's what those are all about. And I will continue to do them because I just think the magic you get, whether it's two players or 20 players all at the same time, everybody's got to get it right. That is so much the sum being greater than the whole of its parts, you know. Did I say that right? You know what I meant. So that's the barn sessions. Bittern Lake was an opportunity for Mike Klink and I to keep working together. We'd already kind of finished Mother Earth, the CD, the online digital version. So we were looking for, and I said, you know, something I never do is a lot of cover songs. And there's a lot of great environmental covers to do out there. You know, why don't we all throw in one or two originals, but otherwise, let's do some favorites of mine. And so I called up a bunch of different ones, some that didn't make the cut, some that we tried, but I didn't really pull it off well. Like, eventually I want to do a cover of Bruce Coburn's Water Walker. We started it, but I didn't like it. I didn't like where it was going. It needs to be better. So we did that, and I found J.J. Cale's Death in the Wilderness, which is an amazingly powerful tune, and Michael brought in some great players. We had Tony Bronicle, the guy's drummed with Bonnie Raitt and Clapton. I mean, he's a monster drummer. Reggie Young on bass. He's the musical director for the Apollo Theater in New York. He's played with Stevie Wonder and Alicia Keys. So we got these monster musicians, and I've got them corralled into one room telling them they're not going to be able to do overdubs. They loved it. They came alive. And that was the point, was we wanted to do some cover songs there. Joni Mitchell's Big Yellow Taxi, which Joni herself heard, and she agreed. And she agreed to me changing the lyrics of the last verse. That's like stepping on hallowed ground there, man. Bruce Coburn's If a Tree Falls, I did. And then my favorite, really, or one of my favorites, is Ben Harper's Excuse Me, Mister, which gave me a chance to really kick it out on the harmonica. So that was the idea of Bittern Lake, was kind of more me paying homage to songs that already existed that relate to nature and the environment.
Beautiful. And you know, the song, I'm glad you mentioned that, the song I actually wanted to play from this album was the Big Yellow Taxi cover. I just love that song in general. Growing up, you hear it on the radio all the time. And so when I saw that was on the album, I was like, absolutely. And then I took a listen to it, and it was gorgeous. Why don't you tell me a little bit more about that one and covering it?
Well, and you know, Rolling Stone said that it was the best cover they'd ever listened to. Including the Counting Crows version. And when the Counting Crows did it, it was great. But you know, they just did it exactly the way Joni did it. And I'm a believer that if you're going to do a cover, that it needs to be so much different. I hear there's a new cover of it right now by a Canadian singer. I saw CBC give it a little bit of love. And which, by the way, just to tangent a little politically, one of the reasons why I was really happy to get on here and talk with you, Tara, is because I've never seen a lot of love in Canada for the work I've done. And that sounds like me whining now all of a sudden, but it's kind of true. You don't really see my face and name in a lot of different situations. And I am Canadian inside and out, through and through. And so it's you know, being a musician as well and having all this material out, it's nice to be speaking with a Canadian. And I say that because ironically, I get a lot more love out in the States for stuff like this. And so this is really, as soon as I saw that this was a Canadian music program, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Cause it's just so much more fun for me. But back to the Joni Mitchell cover. Well, Joni's Canadian as well. And I thought this is all in keeping. That's why I wanted to do the Bruce Coburn one also, very much in keeping with my country, Canada. And what I did was, you know, I think you got to do covers and give it your own. If you're not giving it your own sound, then you might as well just play it in the bar, right? It's just a cover song in a bar at that point. But if you're going to record it, and I sat with that song for weeks and weeks. And then one day I was upstairs in my piano room where I do a lot of the barn sessions. And I was sitting there with my slide guitar and I was fooling around on slide, and out it came. I thought, oh my gosh, lyrically, this works. This flow, this cadence, I can do this as a blues song. And so I called my buddy Peter Cleese, who's an amazing blues guitar player, or guitar player, period. And I say, here, you take the dobro. I'll grab my harmonica. Let's see what we can do. And the first day we played it is the same as you've heard it. It's the same as we play it every time. It worked. But it's dark. And the song is actually dark. It's not light and poppy. It's dark. And I think giving it that traditional blues delta slide, earthy, gritty sound worked to the lyrics very well.
Honestly, it totally did. We're going to listen to that one right away here. And then, unfortunately, we do have to wind down the show a little bit. All good things got to come to an end. But I do have one more song we're going to talk about before we go. But first, here's the Big Yellow Taxi cover from Les Stroud.
Mm-hmm. With a parking lot, put up big hotels, boutiques, and swinging hot spots. Don't it always seem to go? You don't know what you've got till it's gone. Paved paradise with a parking lot. Your DDT now. Leave the spots on my apples, but give me the birds and the bees. Don't it always seem to go? I don't know what you've got till it's gone. Paved paradise with a parking lot. Paved paradise. Put up a parking lot.
Listening to Background Noise. Like what you hear? Follow us on Instagram at Background Noise The Show for links to episodes, playlists, and more.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Background Noise today. I hope you enjoyed the episode at least half as much as I did. It was so much fun talking to Les Stroud today. I grew up watching Survivor Man, so to be able to talk about what we both love as well to music was incredible. So the last song I want to chat with you about, I do believe this one's going to be the next one to be re-released off that Mother Earth album that's going to be coming out, or that's going to be coming out on vinyl. It's a very big year, but it was Ancient's Call. That song was, and I just wrote down here, heavy with an exclamation point. Like, it was an absolute journey of a song to listen to. There was so much going on, but it was awesome. Why don't you tell me a bit more about that song?
Yeah, wait till you see the video. Yeah, Ancient's Call came about originally, again, from my recordings, this time in Africa. I recorded a whole bunch of children singing. And also I recorded my scarification ceremony that was done by a Zulu elder, and she did the scarification on me, and she had these other people with her, and they did chanting, and that chanting was da 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 da. It's just this da 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 da, and I just remember hearing that, and I was like, my goodness, Is that ever a sound? And I then went and tried very hard to channel my deepest inner Peter Gabriel. And I thought, and I literally went, what would Peter do, you know, with this, you know? And I thought, there is no shame in this. I can feel the lyrics coming. And at that point, the ceremonies that I were doing were all ceremonies that were about connecting to the ancients, connecting to your ancestors, through the stars, through trance dances, through ingesting plant medicines. And so that was very much on my brain. And then here's this melody. And then there's me as a pragmatic songwriter trying to channel Peter Gabriel. And out came Ancients Call, Call Me Home, Follow Where I Go. And I took that to Brian Poffin and I sang it to him over. I said, listen to this. So what do you think you can do with this? And Brian took it in and he went with the heavy. And he came up with the dun 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 dun, really heavy. And I went, yes, lean into that. Don't chicken out here, right? And then along comes Ian Ogier, our part, you know, again, the producer from the first CD and everything, and engineer. And Ian and Brian, then they went in and out came the synthesizers. It's like, how can we? And I said, guys, keep this heavy and powerful. Don't lighten up. I will take credit for the crazy ending section that was a combination of all the ceremonies stuff that was going on. The part that I'll take credit for were the hits. So these big hits going dun 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 dun. And I had been listening to a guy, IMX, which is a heavy artist. I don't know what he's doing these days, but he'd had these similar sounds like that. And I thought, when I finally got it to Mike Klink, when Mike Klink took over the production of it, I said, I want the, like, Brian and Ian didn't go as heavy as I wanted. And I said, I want those hits to be as heavy as they can be. So if someone's in the headphones on, it's like, they're just pounding into their chest, right? And then the last thing we added, Brian and Ian added this, was Kelly Adams as the voice of Mother Earth with that haunting, haunting female vocal at the end. She is, in our minds, philosophically, emotionally, spiritually, the voice of Mother Earth. That was her role. And I remember saying, just sing like you're the Earth. Just sing like you are Mother Earth. And she did this kind of great gig in the sky sort of overlaying of her vocal over all of this stuff I just talked about. And it's a track that I'm very proud of in a lot of ways. And again, you being a writer, I'm sure, and a player, you know, and so many writers maybe even listen to this. That is one of the beauties of writing with other people and having creativity coming from varying sources when there's no ego. You let the ego go and everybody gets you split the song the same and all that stuff. You get amazing creativity. And I'm very, very, very proud of Ancients Call. It also is my foray into progressive rock. My love of Rush and Yes and Genesis and Tool and King Crimson and all that. So that I'm glad you picked up on that one. It's definitely meant to be listened as loud as your stereo can handle or your headphones can go. That's the way to listen to Ancients Call.
Amazing. Well, we're going to listen to it right away here. But before we go and wrap it all up, I know you mentioned you're releasing a new song and video every 6 weeks for the next 3 years. You got albums coming out. But is there anything in particular we should be watching out for you here?
I would say the best thing people could do for me is to subscribe to my YouTube channel. Both of them. There's Survivor Man Les Stroud. I get that's there. And some of the music will come out on that, as well as lots of Survivor Man stuff continues. But also now I've launched the Les Stroud Music YouTube channel. And so that is where I'm basing everything out of YouTube. That's the platform I'm really familiar with. And of course it all flows out onto Spotify and, you know, all the usual suspects. But lastly, the thing I would say is that I realized that with the Mother Earth album and the Mother Earth concert that I did a number of concerts. I put up these big videos and we have click track and we play to the video and this powerful imagery of the Arctic. When we do Arctic Mistress, we have the throat singing, everything's there. And it never really landed the right way. And only recently did I realize, now that I'm doing so much work with the American networks, PBS, public broadcasting stations, and now also in Canada on the Weather Network, I thought, you know what I never did? I didn't do this as a film. This live concert, Mother Earth live in concert with special guests, celebrating nature, with it being a charitable concert, needs to be a documentary full live feature, live concert film. And that's what I'm doing. So at the end of this year, I'm hoping to have that. I'm in conversation today, actually, on solidifying the venue. We'll go in and we're going to film the entire Mother Earth show, which will be, you know, you can imagine just featuring big nature imagery with live concert footage with some very special guests that I'm not permitted to name right now.
Amazing. I cannot wait for that to come out. As somebody who loves concert DVDs, that's going on my radar for sure. Thank you again so much for carving some time out of your day to chat with me less about your music. This was awesome. This is Ancient Call off of the Mother Earth album from Les Stroud.
Ancients call, call me.
Well, that's all I got for today, folks. Thanks so much for tuning into Background Noise. I had a blast. And hey, you know what? If you're a Canadian musician as well and you're thinking, I want to be on the show, just click the link in our Instagram bio at Background Noise the Show, and we'll try to set something up.